This is Empowered Podcast, a podcast for interviews, discussions, and most of the time, chill and candid conversations with insightful thought leaders, inspiring educators, and courageous change makers who help transform, elevate, and celebrate teachers around the globe. Let's get empowered. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Empowered Podcast. And we are now on season number 9. And for this episode, I am proud to welcome an exemplary and outstanding student who has represented our country, the Philippines, for the recent Global Student Prize alongside another Filipino student. For today, I want to welcome Leia Shoko. She has an outstanding resume right now. I think if she goes to apply to a work right now, I think she'll be fully hired immediately. Leia studies applied math at the University of the Philippines. She is an entrepreneur, published writer, and dreams of redefining her country's education system for the next generation of Filipino students. She is co-founder of the Independent Collective, or Indico, a media production startup that pushes boundaries through socially engaged conversation. Of course, this year, she was a Global Student Prize finalist. So welcome, Leia, to Empowered Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Sir Francis. So great to be here.
All right. So Leia, like I've said, she's a published author. I think a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago, one of the things that you have written was released. So can you tell us about your piece?
Yeah, thanks for being so gracious with your words, Sir Francis. So actually, my biggest literary highlight this year is my publication on the Chicken Soup for the Soul's anthology series. So if you're familiar with Chicken Soup for the Soul, it's an international American-based publishing company as well as a media company. And I was published there for my essay called Premature Baby, which is basically my life story and my birth story. And I was able to get it on the very competitive short list of essays. And I'm the only one who wrote from the Philippines. So the rest of the other writers were either based in the US or originally from the US and then migrated somewhere else. So it was very, very humbling for me to be, you know, one of the youngest and international writers to be on the series. So ayun, thanks for asking about that.
It was a moment of pride, actually, when I saw your post. Leia and I and the team of Global Student Prize and Global Teacher Prize finalists in the Philippines, we have this sort of group chat or a little community where we communicate and update one another. And of course, we know the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. I think when I was young, I have been reading that, and it's really it's a source of pride for us also, seeing a very young author, of course, in the person of Leia, being published, included in that series. So yeah, congratulations on that, Leia. On that note, we know that in the Philippines, this is the reality part of it. So I think we're now going to our podcast right now, main proper. Before the pandemic, I'm pretty sure Leia have heard about this. You know, we've actually ranked the lowest in terms of literacy in the PISA assessment. And of course, this was a very big issue, not just in the Department of Education, but in the whole country. That's the reality. And right now we have Leia thriving as a student, and of course, being able to do well in the literacy, literary part. Leia, what are your thoughts? Why should students write or learn how to write?
Yeah, that's a very good question, actually, Sir Francis. And I believe, really, you can't teach students or anyone in general how to write. And that's something that I really learned the hard way when I studied abroad in the US for a solid month to complete a semester's worth of coursework at Harvard. And at the time, we did very little writing. For example, in like one whole day, the whole 4 hours of classes, we would be discussing the books we read. And then, you know, the teacher would just assign us something to write and then she would grade it the next day. But out of like, let's say 12 hours of work, I would spend like 8 hours reading and 4 hours just writing. And I think the reality is the reason why the Philippines is not so good in that area is because we have very few resources, or if there are resources, they're not really maximized in some areas. Like in the Philippines, the wealth of literary sources or just resources in general is concentrated in Metro Manila. And other regions, for example, I'm from Bacolod, Negros Occidental in Region 6. Other regions have to make do with subpar, at least very mediocre, I would say, resources or books in general. So actually, the reason why I started writing was because I didn't like the ending of the books I've read. And I've talked about this on other podcast episodes where I've guessed it, is that the reason why I wrote was because I didn't like the ending of, for example, The Wizard of Oz or, let's say, Harry Potter. And these were the books that were just, you know, available to me. I had to go out and look for other books, for example, outside of school that were not available here, but they're available, let's say, in Metro Manila or even outside of the country in the U.S. only. So it's very important for our educators or our teachers in general or even our education sector to really allow schools or even, you know, just organizations in general to have these wealth of resources, like make public libraries accessible and not just accessible, really greatly accessible and really, you know, something to be proud of if you put it against, let's say, public libraries in New York. You know, so that's something that I'm really passionate about. And also another thing why students really have to learn how to write is because I think it's the number one skill that you will need both for career and personal development. So for example, I don't know if you'd agree, if you write, then you would, I would assume that whenever you do write, it's also a way of getting to know yourself, you know, how you put words together and eventually, you know, cohere certain thoughts into one. It's just really like a work of magic. So that's how I see it. Although I'm not a literary student, for instance, I'm an applied math major and I do very little writing. The reason why I'm really still trying to pursue it is because I still continue to read on the sides, you know, so I don't forget that part of me. Because I think first and foremost, writing has always been my strength. And I didn't need to try relatively super hard. So I think that's very important for students to know that for them to really excel in writing, they have to be really voracious and really curious readers or learners. And also for those who have the power to make reading accessible for every Filipino student, I hope you guys could, you know, do something. It could be as simple as funding a library in your local organization or your local community, or even, you know, donating books to kids, you know.
Yeah, Leigh, I love that you pointed. I think you've made a very good connection there. I think the fact that you mentioned about access, I too grew up in the province, you know, and the one of the best memories that I had when I back in the 90s, when I was in the grade school, is that we had a library. It's just, you know, 2 minute or 1 minute walk away from our house, and it was, I thought that it was a public library before, but actually when I you know, when I became older, I realized that it was a private library. It's just that one of my aunts was managing it. So it was a library full of donated books. Those donations actually are books from the US. And most of the time, I would spend my Saturday morning, because I would help at home for the chores, Saturday afternoon, when all of my classmates will be, you know, playing or sleeping for their siesta, I would go there and read through it. I think those were my first access to books that are not, because whether we like it or not, and Leia, thank you for mentioning that, in the province, we lack high quality resources. Most of the resources that we have are actually the books being given to us. And most of the time, the books being given to us in school are not even, you know, they're not updated and used by other people. So they're kind of old, and most of the time they're like 5, 6, 7 years old already. So I would go there and read. And thank you for mentioning that, you know, there's this connection that if you want to write something, it's not just as easy as, you know, you sit down, you write. Of course, you can do that. But most of the time you need some ideas. So you need to be a voracious reader. And I still do remember the books that I've read before. And those actually, like you, those were the reasons why I started to write, because I want to write my own books, write my own stories, and share them with my classmates or my sisters. So thank you for mentioning that importance of access to this reading materials or resources, simple books. I think those will start, you know, the curiosity of a lot of students. The writing part also, the writing part can be taught in school by teachers and everything. But most of the time, when kids really want to write, it comes from, you know, that inner desire to share something. Mm-hmm. And I felt that from you. When I look at your biography as early as now and the things that you do, that's really something. You mentioned about writing for professional and personal development, right? And I'm pretty sure all of our audience listeners would agree with that. For a young writer, right, like you, what challenges have you faced when you're trying to write something?
Oh, that's interesting. I think when it just comes down to writing, it's more of like personal struggle, like just choosing to sit down and write. It's always choosing to begin that's the hardest. But, you know, I don't think that's true for all, because I know other writers who can just, you know, seamlessly start, and like the hard part for them is really editing. But for me, it's always the writing, the starting, that's the hardest. But when it comes to really putting the work out there in terms of getting it published and really, you know, getting taken seriously by publishers, the hard part is really exuding that sense of confidence through the words you write. And when you're young, it's hard to be 100% self-assured and confident in your own work, right? So a lot of times the hard part is really just sometimes it's like what do you call this? It's like an imposter syndrome, that is this work worthy of getting published, because, you know, getting published means that your work deserves to be read by people. And oftentimes, you know, work that deserves to be read by hundreds of thousands or even millions of people has to have some sense of wisdom. And when you're young, you're almost like, what do I know? You know, I'm not exactly wise. Sometimes there's this even joke that, you know, we don't know anything at all. So it's that kind of struggle. So for me, the struggle in writing is really starting and then deciding to have it published, you know, if I feel like it's worthy of publication, but still having that imposter syndrome, like, is this good enough? Is this worthy to be read?
Leia, I love that you share about the imposter syndrome. Until now, a lot of people still have that. So, and I love that you mentioned about, you know, starting the beginning. If I may share on my part, that's always the toughest, mm-hmm. whether it's professional writing, or sometimes I do before, right now I am doing podcasts, but before I have mm-hmm. my own blog. I still write a few, maybe, I don't know mm-hmm. how many times per year. It's not anymore per month or per week. It's just per year, because of, you know, being busy with everything. But most of the time, for me, it's always the beginning at the end. So the beginning, mm-hmm. the ideas come in and you don't know how to start. Now you have your mojos back, then you can just, you know, continue writing. And you know, you'll just edit, you know. They said write in heat, edit in cold, or whatever. But mm-hmm. for me, once I'm done with it, once I'm done with editing, most of the time I spend so much time thinking whether to click that publish button. Because most of the mm-hmm. time, that's where the imposter syndrome comes in.
Yeah.
And like you start to doubt yourself and your skills and everything. And sometimes, you know, you haven't published it, made it public, but you're already thinking about what would people say about your work? Because mm-hmm. most of the time, now you question your expertise and then. To our listeners right now, teachers or your fellow students, the imposter syndrome will not go away most of the time. But it's really much building confidence. And I'm very interested, Leia, how do you get past that stage of doubt or self-doubt? How do you build confidence in yourself as a young writer?
Wow, that's such a tough question. I actually don't have like a straight answer to that. I don't know how I do it even. I guess get past all the drama and just like, look forward into the future and think, this might be something I would regret because I've always been that kind of person who would rather choose failure than not trying at all. Obviously, I would want to win, but between not trying and failing, I would rather fail. So it's really that mindset of just, okay, publish it, send it to the publisher, let's see if it gets published. I'd rather, not get published than not send this at all. So it's that fear of like wasting an opportunity.
So it's like, let's just, take the risk because it's harder to regret things that you haven't tried than, not doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you won't lose anything, as people would say. For our listeners, especially for teachers, I think this would work for teachers and students. What are your tips for young writers, like you?
Writers who want to get published or just who want to write in general.
Depends on you, whatever you think will
All
be
right.
helpful to our listeners.
Got it. So I think I've always been a very goal-oriented person. So something I ask myself when I do something, it's always what's the end goal? What's in it for me? And I think when I started writing, it was just for the self-fulfillment of getting what I want out of a story that I didn't like, right? Because I mentioned I used to write because I didn't like the ending of the stories I read. But as I grew older, let's say in high school, my end goal was really to get my words out there, to get published. And I think this could be the motivation of young writers in general, because when I was in high school, my ultimate goal was really to get into top universities, not just in the Philippines, but also abroad. And one way to really, pad your resume was to say that you were a published writer. And I think what I wish I had known then, which I would be imparting as an advice now, is that number one, the number one thing that young writers must have is really self-awareness and I would say a personal understanding of who they are. Because I believe that when you write, it's always from your perspective. It's from your outlook. So the number one thing that you should develop first is your character and yourself. And a lot of that is also done through writing generally. It's also through the process. But I think if you nail that part even before you write, then all the better. So first, know your reasons why you're writing it and know yourself before you actually delve into this crazy world of writing. And second, like I said, just read. I couldn't stress it more. Before, I would say we were really disadvantaged because the internet was practically non-existent. But in this day and age, you can literally, have every wealth of information at the tip of your hands. And so I hope young writers would take advantage of that by making every second they spend online worthwhile by checking out all these possibly free PDF of books. Or even reading blog posts written by exemplary writers like you, Sir Francis. And
I'm
yeah,
not,
just
disclaimer, I'm not an exemplary writer. I just write. But yeah, thank you for that kind word. Yeah.
just read basically. And then lastly, after obviously you soak in all the information from everything you read and just start to write. And it takes a lot of practice to find your voice. But if you feel like it's something that you really want to share out there, then eventually by all means send it out to be published. Because you have no idea how inspirational it is for other young writers to read fellow 13-year-olds getting published, right? It gives them that sense of, I would say, like limitlessness, being really, able to do something that they thought someone their age couldn't do. So it's really being like an inspiration and like this overall beacon of hope for fellow young writers that it can be done.
Leah, I love that you pointed out that the first thing that we need to do, even myself and of course anyone who's trying to be a writer, It's really knowing your strengths and weaknesses, right, in terms of skills. I do remember this is a secret, and I think I usually share this when I talk about grades and failing. But my first, so I graduated from Ateneo and in the Manila, and my first paper was actually a Filipino paper, and it was like a critique on a song or something. So I thought I was a good writer, and when the paper came back to me, it was actually F. So my first paper when I was a freshman back in 2005, I think, was actually F. And then when I look at my paper, it was all bloody red. That's how I realized that maybe at some point in my life, I need to distinguish, that writing, there are techniques for writing professionally, like something that you need to submit, or maybe blogging or something like that. And that's my concrete way of concrete concretizing what you've said, learning your own strengths and skills. And that's when it dawned on me, like, everything's not just creative stuff. You free rein on everything. Sometimes there are boundaries, parameters, techniques that you have to learn. And that's when I realized and I told myself, oh my gosh, I need to learn better, because my first paper in college is actually F. And that was very embarrassing, because I graduated valedictorian in high school. I was editor in chief of my whatever, things like that. And it was so embarrassing. But right now, I'm very comfortable in sharing about it, because that actually taught me something about knowing your strengths and weaknesses. So that was a very good reminder, Leia. We know that a lot of teachers are complaining about, kids don't know how to write, they lack reading comprehension. What's your any thoughts about that? Like, for teachers, how could they navigate those challenges with their students?
Oh my gosh. I think I will just describe to you what my really great professor in creative writing at Harvard did for me that I felt like not a single Philippine-based teacher did, which made all the difference. So, how in Philippine classrooms, the teacher does all the talking, very little time for students to actually talk. But the difference is that, in an American classroom, the teacher is almost silent. Like literally not talking at all. And I actually have a recording of her classes, and she would always start with a question. And that one question is the start of the class. And then for the rest of the period, she would just almost be like juggling us balls, and she would make sure that we would not like have dead air by really kind of like giving us the freedom and just the confidence that we can tackle these literary pieces. And the literary pieces that we read were particularly challenging. Like we read Joe and Didion, Edward Hoagland, Michel de Montaigne, the father of personal essays, and classical writers even. And I personally expected to be sitting in a lecture, because obviously when you hear a Harvard professor, you always think, oh my gosh, this beacon of wisdom, I have to absorb everything. But it was the other way around, which I really appreciated, because when you ask students to do most of the talking, they're really forced to think and really, really prepare. And I think that's what teachers can do more of, really make the students the showrunners of the class, and just being at the background, making sure that they don't kind of like falter. And it's true for writing, even if you don't do the actual writing in the class, but you sort of like discuss the work of each other. And then in their own time, they could write individually in their own rooms or their homes or their specific study spots. So yeah, very, very, I think very great advice for not just teachers who are teaching literature or reading, but also any teacher in general. And the same is true for, my math professors who are really great. They don't do lectures at all. They write questions on the board, and then it's a competition between students who can solve it first. And so everyone is just forced to sort of like, obviously perform and excel, because they gamify it in a way. So since you're dealing with kids, teachers, if you're listening, find a way to inject game theory in your classes and really make students, the showrunners of your class. And I think, you know, they're definitely going to excel in whatever subject you're teaching.
I love that reminder, Leia. And most of the time when I speak about assessment, I always go back to my own experience when I was a kid. We were taught essay, but we were taught about essay, parts and everything, kinds and everything, but we seldom mm-hmm. spend time writing different kinds of essay. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, if we were asked to write, we don't get feedback from our teacher. Mm-hmm. It's, you know how to write, you should know how to write. Come tomorrow, bring in your, I don't know, composition note, but I don't know if that still exists. The big yeah. composition notebook or whatever. And then that's it. I mean, like, you have to really fend for yourself. Like, you know, practice, True. Practice on your own. But most of the time, I tell teachers, your assessment on essay is not asking about the parts of an essay, kinds of an essay. You're supposed to let them write.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thank you for that reminder. Because writing is a skill that needs to be done. It's not just something that needs to be taught or talked yeah. about, something that needs to be done. So there, thank you, Leia, for this wonderful short podcast with you. And we are still very proud, the whole Philippines is still very proud of your work, of being part of the previous roster of Global Student Prize finalist, and of course for your amazing work as an author. I love it that you're into STEM, math, but still in humanities. I love those. I love that combination of logic, creativity, and every. Of course, combining all those things. And yeah, last words for our listeners.
Yeah, I just like to thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Sir Francis, for having me here. And most importantly, I wish you all the best in your endeavors. To whoever's listening, I hope you know that you guys are just where you're supposed to be. And I wish you all the best in whatever, you know, future plans you choose to pursue.
Thank you, Leia. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in once again. And we hope to see you back in the next episode. Of course, we will continue to talk about anything under the sun about education, whether it's controversial, fun, or just something that we need to talk about. So thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on our next episode. Goodbye, Leia. Goodbye, everyone.